Great to have you with us for Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio. I'm Jerry Escher along with Debbie Giorgiani. We are on YouTube and Facebook, and we are just glad to have you with us here on this Friday. And Debbie, about once a month we do a show where we let our listeners call in and talk about anything they want. We call it Unscripted.
We do. So take it away, dear listeners, our family, our Take Two family. It's your time. This is your show. Ask anything. Make suggestions. Comment on previous shows. Maybe some calls that came in this week that you want to echo or give some affirmations. Whatever works. This is your show, Unscripted. That means it's an informal setting. It's just for a chance for us to get to know one another a little bit better. And we'll walk away a little bit changed, and we'll start the weekend strong. So here's the number. Hurry to the phones. Well, actually, just pick up the phone that's probably nearby you, because cell phones are always within reach. 1-800-585-9396.
That's right. You set the topic here, and it could be anything. It could be something in the news. There are always news topics to be discussed. Maybe you've got a strong opinion about something you've seen or read in the news recently. Anything that the Pope has been up to. Debbie and I both watch EWTN News Nightly, so Pope Francis is in the news just about every day, doing wonderful things around the world. Maybe you lent somebody a helping hand recently. You've got challenges at the job. Your kids are doing something really awesome this summer that you want to share. Really, anything. You can ask me and Debbie personal questions about our life journey, our mission, our ministries, and so forth.
Yes,
1-800-585-9396.
This is an exciting show. This is actually one of my favorite shows that we do. We do it once a month, and it's just a really great chance for us to kind of close all those loops and just finish off the conversations from different shows. The Take Two family is very interested in each other, and that's great. That's what we want. We want a community, and you've built that over the 2 years. So please don't hesitate. If I'm going to say it again, like I say almost every single show, if you feel prompted by the Spirit, weigh in by calling in 1-800-585-9396, or you can text us. You text the letters EWTN to 55000, wait for a response, then you put your first name in, your question or your comment, and we'll put it into the Unscripted show. Now, keep in mind that maybe, just depending on your service plan, some data rates may apply, but I think it's worth it, Jerry. I think it didn't really ding my Verizon bill very much, so I did it a few times. I just wanted to let you know. Did you ever do it? Did you text in?
I have not texted our show.
I've texted others. It's really good. It goes fast. I mean, it's a nice way to kind of share your take very quickly.
Yeah, for sure. Well, again, it's Unscripted today, so anything you'd like to talk about. Maybe as your life has gone along in this last month or the last week or just a recent day, maybe one of your kids did something that taught you something. Maybe you learned from one of your children by their example or something that they said. Maybe you're making changes in your personal life. You decided, I'm going to lose a little bit of weight. I'm going to start exercising again. I'm going to start feeling better. So really, this show is the phone lines, we throw them open to you to talk about anything you want, because, Debbie, isn't this what happens in a family? You gather, say, at the holidays or in the evening after a meal when you've had family or friends over, and what do? You grab your cup of coffee, you go sit on the couch, and you just talk about whatever. And
right.
that's what we're doing here. I've got my protein shake right here, so.
I've got my water because I'm hydrating. It's only going to be 113 here today in Arizona. So that's
oh, wow.
We have a chance to survive.
Get out the parka.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you seen the Facebook posts about Arizona? It's hilarious. Lately, they've been doing, lots of people have been posting these things like, come to Arizona, it's a dry heat. And then you see this corpse sitting on a lounge chair, like all fried up. It's hilarious. And so that's what we're dealing with right now. I really do, if we could do this, Jerry, I would love for our Take Two family to pray for those families that don't have air conditioning or their air conditioning has broken down. I can't even imagine what it feels like. You just don't get any relief. And so if we could pray for those families, I know they would appreciate it. But here's the number, 1-800-585-9396, to get on Unscripted today. It's Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, your show. We're on Facebook Live and YouTube, and the chats are going. Everything's happening. It's a lively, lively Friday, and that's good. But we want to hear from you. So when we come back, we're going right to the full phone lines.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. We get what we look for. Saint Therese of Lisieux has an interesting insight on this. Once in a discussion over the possibility of avoiding purgatory, the future saint told another member of her community, Sister Maria Febronia, that God was more father than judge. And in this discussion, debate, she finally took the liberty of saying to the other sister, "If you look for the justice of God, you will get it. The soul will receive from God exactly what she desires." Are we full of wounds and anger and hurt, and do we want to inflict that on other people? Are we allowing God to heal us? If we receive His mercy, we have to show it to others. The Beatitudes are the heart of Jesus' message. Let's be transformed by them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Have you heard of Amazon Echo? It's a virtual personal assistant that allows you to use just your voice. You can listen to EWTN Radio just by saying, "Alexa, play EWTN Radio." Check out the Amazon Echo today.
Catholic Answers Live is on EWTN Television.
Hi, this is Cy Kellett. Join me for a show dedicated to Catholic apologetics and evangelization, as we connect viewers to prominent leaders in the church today and touch on just about everything relating to the church, from doctrinal issues to family concerns, social issues, evangelization, ethics, you name it.
Catholic Answers Live TV, Sunday morning, 9 Eastern on EWTN Television.
This is John Martinoni, host of Open Line Monday.
Hello, this is Archbishop Charles J. Chaput, the Archbishop of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
This is Jerry Usher, co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Thanks for listening to the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Friday episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, moving along here. Debbie, did you mention, I didn't hear mention it, if it's a Feast of the Sacred Heart today?
Yes, yes. You did. Feast okay. of, that's what, well, I didn't mention it. I mentioned it to you before we started the show, but I was just so excited because, you know, I have a strong devotion to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, the twin hearts, I call them, and we all call them, actually. And it's a Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So what a wonderful time to be saying the beautiful Sacred Heart prayers that go along with this wonderful feast day.
Yeah, it's a special day kind of in this area where I live. Three of the parishes are staffed by missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And so today, after the 12:05 Mass, they're having a little luncheon to honor the priests.
Nice.
And everybody's invited. I don't know if I'm going to go yet because I usually go to Mass and then I've got other things to do in the afternoon. But
right.
Wonderful, wonderful priests, the missionaries of the Sacred Heart. And you were mentioning Phoenix. And right before we go back to the calls, I would like to just ask for a quick little prayer for my great-nephew Seth, who was just born recently. And I guess he was being choked by, I don't know, the umbilical cord or something. He was very, very blue when he came out. And doctors fear that there may be some brain damage. They won't know for, I guess, a year or two. But he's the first grandchild of my brother John and his wife Anita, who live there in Phoenix. So would appreciate a prayer for little Seth, who is actually...
Absolutely.
Named after one of John and Anita's kids, so who was miscarried, Seth John Paul. So, and Debbie and I want to assure you, whenever we ask for prayers for something on our end, that we absolutely, every moment of every day, keep you and your prayer intentions lifted up at our masses and rosaries and chaplets and all of that. So it's a two-way street. We want you to know that.
Absolutely. We pray around the clock, and we have teams that are praying, and we're praying for each other, and it's a beautiful community. So please know that we have your back in prayer. Please pray for us as well. Full phone lines, that's great. So when a line becomes open, jump in, okay? As soon as we wish our callers a wonderful day, that's your cue to dial 1-800-585-9396. Okay, first up is Maria in Ohio, listening on the Station of the Cross. Hi, Maria. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, Jerry and Debbie. It's been a while.
How are you, Maria?
I'm doing pretty good. I got a question for you, Jerry.
Okay.
I was wondering when you were going to reschedule your interview with Father Rick Pavlaki when you were supposed to have him on your other show when you were having your family situation. to deal with.
Yeah, yeah. We had Father scheduled, and my sister was in the process of dying at that time, and we had to reschedule. So we have not been in touch again with Father Rick. We would love to have him back, have him on the program, you know, if he could make the time. But, yeah, we just haven't had a chance to reach out and try to reconnect yet, Maria. But that's a great suggestion. We appreciate you bringing that up. So you listen to Calling All Catholics on the Station of the Cross, I take it.
Yes, I do, and unfortunately, he's not on Tuesdays and Thursdays anymore. He's found something else to do. And the only other thing, I was wondering if your people that make the coffee for your Saturday program, do they do, have they ever thought about making teas for tea lovers?
Oh, yeah, right, Vocation Brew. I don't know if our coffee supplier makes tea or not. That's definitely something we need to look into. And, Debbie, I know you've enjoyed Vocation Brew before. So
that's all I have in our house. We had it this morning. I love Vocation Brew. But that's a great idea, Maria, to have teas. That's wonderful.
I'm a tea lover.
I am as well. And I like that. Take two tea. That would be cool, Jerry. That would be very cool. Maria, that is, I love the fact that you are so devoted and a consistent listener to your Station of the Cross, which is just a wonderful station. And I love Father Rick as well. What a powerhouse and what a great, great preacher and amazing priest. He's very, very busy, though. I understand he's very busy. He's got a packed schedule, so maybe that had something to do with it. But Maria, you are just awesome. You can't be a stranger to us. Stay in touch with us a little more often. Would you do that? Okay, I think she'll do that. I hope. I don't hear her. Okay. Thanks, Maria. God bless you. God bless you so much, and have a wonderful rest of your day. Okay, Maria's going to free up that line, so it's time. See, there's the cue. It's time for you to jump in at 1-800-585-9396.
Okay, well, speaking of warm weather, we're going to talk to Sunny next. Sunny is driving through West Virginia listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Hi, Sunny. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good. What's on your mind today?
Well, one time when I was listening, somehow you guys were talking about grave sites. And I believe Debbie said that she wanted her husband and her buried together.
Uh-huh. I did.
Okay. I know it's kind of an awkward subject, but I just
wanted to
say a little something about that. My husband's first wife died, and they have a grave site together, but that's been 10 years ago. And he and I, we've been married for 10 years, and so that was 12 years ago. But he has said to me that he doesn't want buried at that grave site, that what he would like to do is now have his ashes scattered over Colorado, where we lived for a few years. And I just wanted to say that it just makes for kind of an awkward situation for those who are living.
I'm not telling you,
that you're wrong or I'm right or anything like that, but...
Okay, so help me with this, Sunny. So what part is awkward? The fact that if one of us is still living, and then
yeah.
So to ask, oh, I see. Yeah, I thought I had addressed that a little bit later in the show. That I mean, obviously, if one of us passed prematurely, I wouldn't expect it to be held in concrete to be able to do that. I think I explained that a little further if you had listened to the whole show. But here's the thing, I just. We bought the crypt together. I'll be really transparent. We bought the crypt together. It's paid off. It's our, and we joke about it that it's our retirement home. I think it's just a playful way of addressing the fact that we're going to be leaving this earth. And but no, I totally understand. But back to your husband. May I just ask something? Is he Catholic and he wants his ashes spread?
We're actually not Catholic. We're Protestant.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure because as I'm sure if you've been listening on Catholic shows, obviously you're listening to EWTN.
Mm-hmm.
We hold that a little bit different when it comes to spreading of the ashes. We really prefer that it's the ashes are buried or put in a proper burial ground. Yeah. So, well, that's interesting. But I'm glad you, you know, I'm glad you felt so comfortable to call in. Obviously, you listen to the show regularly. Do you like the show?
Yes, I like it a lot.
Oh, good.
I drive a delivery van every day, and I'm from actually from Bridgeport, West Virginia, so I drive to Parkersburg and back and forth every day, and I always hope that I'm going at this time of day so I can listen to your show.
Oh, bless your heart. Well, thank you. Thank you. Will you pray for us, please?
Yes, yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we'll do the same, Sonny, that this burial decision does not have to come for many, 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 many years.
That's right. Amen. Amen.
All right. Thanks, Sonny. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, Sonny.
All right. That phone line is 1-800-585-9396. As you can see on the unscripted episode of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, the floor is yours. You bring up and we can all discuss together anything that you would like. 800-585-9396. Julie has us on Sirius XM 130 in Illinois, and she is up next. Hello, Julie. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. You're on.
Thank you. I was calling because I am a teacher and I work with several young friends. And several of them, one was Catholic and left the church, and a couple are not Catholic. But one in particular has not been raised with any religion whatsoever. And she married a man that's pretty religious and goes to the Episcopal Church. And she was talking to me the other day about the fact that some of her friends who are evangelical told her that if she does not get baptized, she won't go to heaven. And so we were having a little conversation about that. And I think, you know, she was very turned away by that whole thing. And I just thought maybe you could give me some ideas or pointers on a way to present that and kind of talk to her about God and that, because she's just so new to the topic that she really doesn't, you know, get all that. And just as I just have learned that if you catch more flies with honey than you do with vinegar, and I feel like she's been given a lot of vinegar lately, if you will.
Yeah, it sounds like it, Julie, and I love your approach to this. Debbie and I both do. It's something we strongly believe in. And first of all, what I would say about the sacraments, and you probably know this, Julie. Debbie, I know you know it because you have your master's in theology, but we are bound by the sacraments, but God is not. That's a common Catholic theological phrase. In other words, we, to the extent we have knowledge, we are bound to live our lives according to the sacraments and to receive them and to benefit from them. God, however, is not. God could save somebody any way he wants. That's his prerogative. But where I would start is exactly where you sense you want to start, Julie, and that is just help her see who you mentioned. It's a young lady. It's a female student.
Yes. Well, no, okay. No. She is a young teacher, so she's
a young teacher.
Late 20s, early 30s.
Perfect. Perfect. Then just if she hasn't had any real exposure to religion, to God, to faith, to the sacraments, start out with just say, you know, helping her understand who she is as created by God. If she has a concept of who God is, then that's a good place to start. And just very, very general on a personal level, encourage her, affirm her, help her to see the person that she is, the potential that she has, and then slowly you can work in, well, you know, the gifts that you have, you know, those are God-given gifts, and maybe introduce God that way, and slowly, and at some point you might be able to talk about what happens after this life. You know, is this all there is? And, you know, as Catholic Christians, we believe that we can go to heaven and be with God forever, and just work those things in slowly. Deb, I know you probably have a lot to say about this.
Well, no, I think you handled it beautifully. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I do want to share that I jumped right into it, and she knows that I'm, you know, pretty faithful to my own, you know, faith. And I did tell her kind of what you said, that, you know, God is, I believe he's merciful and just, and we don't have any idea what God's going to do. And I told her, you know, your friends that are telling you're going to go to hell don't know that. So I wanted to kind of, we talked a little bit about God and if, you know, there's a heaven, there's a hell, and kind of things like that. But I need to know, like, how do I move forward from that abrupt beginning, I guess?
Is she open to watching anything or listening to CDs or reading any books? Is she has she inquired, or are you more interested in her? Has she asked you, hey, can you kind of mentor me a little bit?
No, she has not. And like I said, her husband is a very, very faithful Episcopal church.
Right.
And I think she feels very out of place there because they're like the only young couple, she tells me. And when they have almost a two-year-old, and she feels uncomfortable going to church with the two-year-old because, you know, they act up in that, and there's all older people. And even though they welcome her and tell her, she mm-hmm. still is just very uncomfortable with the whole idea. It's kind of a unique dynamic because he's very faithful in his faith, and then she literally knows nothing about God. I mean, we went to see the show Jesus Christ Superstar, the kids performed it at school, and she had no idea what was going on. I mean, she knows nothing. So it's all very, very new to her.
Wow. So then I completely agree with Jerry that you really have to start at a very elementary level mm-hmm. and just let her know the basic tenets and beliefs of what you know, Julie, and that is that God loves us and he died for us mm-hmm. and, you know, and how wonderful it is that this this earth is just really a wonderful preparation ground for us for eternity, and how beautiful it is, and that's what we set our sights on, and that's what you live for, Julie, and see if she's interested in that. Say, are you interested in that? Are you interested in eternity? I like what Jerry said. I mean, what happens after death? And then see, I would go from there, and really, you're in a religious education class with her. So you really are, and you know, maybe have you taught religion before, Julie?
Many, many years ago, into like sixth graders, so I haven't
okay.
done much. And, you know, obviously I'm a teacher myself.
Right.
But I feel like we've kind of already talked about that. I did talk about eternity with her, and I did talk about, I've heard that, you know, rope analogy, where we're the little bitty end, and then this rope goes on for miles, and that's eternity. And so we did kind of breach those subjects. So I guess you had started to talk about maybe things she can listen to or read.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe that's where I'm looking, like, what can I give her? Because I know she's very open to learning, because she's, you know, open to her husband and that. But also,
right.
you know, on the other hand, she's been told by an evangelical friend, you're not baptized, so you're going to hell. So she's kind of torn as well that
right.
I don't know if I'm interested in this God thing, because, you know, on one hand, I'm being told this.
Sure, sure. Well, Jerry, what's the best way to do that? Because I know Patrick Madrid has a couple resources, and they're all on EWTM Religious Catalog. Would it be best for Julie to email us? Should we post it on Take Two? Because we could post a couple of the books.
Yeah, why don't we? I think we can post a couple on the website, Julie. It's take2show.com.
Okay.
And shortly after the show today, we'll post a couple of resources on there. I think it's a very good thing that if she is told she's going to hell, that kind of gets her interest.
Exactly.
I mean, if she's concerned about that, we don't want her to be fearful of it. But if that causes concern in her, Julie, that's a good sign that she understands. She obviously accepts that there is a hell. But the thing is, her focus has to be shifted to the opposite, to
right.
the fact that there's a heaven. And that's where God wants her and wants all of us. So you are a beautiful soul, Julie, for caring
great,
about her like
great
this.
Great friend. Oh, yeah.
And you are going to, you very well may be the conduit through which God brings her around to faith, not even to the, you know, the Episcopal faith with her husband, maybe bring, you know, see them both into the Catholic Church someday.
Well, and that's a really good point, Jerry, what you're saying. If in fact you are the conduit, which we believe you are, obviously, you're in that place and you're saying yes to God. Julie, pray for God to give you you'll get resources and stuff like that. Continually pray for that, because God will show you the way. I mean, he's going to work through you. All you have to do is cooperate, and you can watch it. You'll watch it unfold.
Yes, that's a beautiful thought, isn't it?
It's an amazing thought, but it's so God. That's how God works. He uses us because he needs to use us, and that's what's wonderful about it. We're in cooperation with his wonderful mystery and the beautiful plan he has for all of us. So I echo what Jerry said. You are a fabulous, fabulous friend.
Yeah, I'm excited to think about it, Julie. We'll be praying for that. And we thank you for calling Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. Full phone lines here, so we are going to move along here in just a moment. We're going to go back to your calls. Maria is in Seattle. We got Mike and Mary and Peter. You're all going to get on the program. It's unscripted today on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. That means Debbie and I, we took a day off from exercising our brains and coming up with a topic.
And but this is harder, I think. This is kind of like a workout.
It is. Well, the calls and topics are all across the board.
That's right.
Which is great, but we put the burden on you to come up with them. So if there's something going on in your life, somebody else's life, in your neighborhood, the state, country, the world, just something you want to get off your mind or your chest, give us a call. 1-800-585-9396. Don't go anywhere if you're on the line. We look forward to talking with each one of you.
Four cardinals have asked to meet Pope Francis in Rome to discuss their concerns over Amoris Laetitiae. I'm Jeanette DeMello, co-host of Register Radio, and we're joined by Edward Penton in Rome, who reports on the background of this story and other Vatican news. Then, writer Brian O'Neill discusses how blessed we are in the USA with more than 79 men and women on the road to sainthood. All this and more on Register Radio. Tune in this Saturday at 7 p.m. Eastern and Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern here on EWTN.
Hi, I'm Doug Keck, and this is an EWTN Bookmark Brief. I just finished interviewing Dr. James Hitchcock on his book, Abortion, Religious Freedom, and Catholic Politics. Tell us, Dr. Hitchcock, what's this book about?
Well, it traces the whole political process in the United States over, the last 15 or 20 years, especially the central importance of abortion, what effects that has had on the election. Talks about the alienation of so many Democrats, Catholic Democrats, from the party, mm-hmm. why they moved over to the Republican side.
What about the idea of the format of the book? You kind of took the National Catholic Reporter and the Wanderer and used those as two ends of the spectrum, right?
It was very convenient. I was always a reader of both, and it was very convenient juxtaposition, I realized. It's not quite as simple as it may sound, you know, Catholic mm-hmm. right here, Catholic left here. It's more complicated than that.
Right.
You have to read the book to find
exactly.
out.
That's the whole point. Thank you so much. You're a good salesman, Dr. James Hitchcock, along with being a good author. His book, Abortion, Religious Freedom, and Catholic Politics, available through the EWTN Religious Catalog. Thanks for joining us.
We know you like listening to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie on EWTN Radio, but have you thought about bringing them to your next event? No matter what type of event you're hosting, parish mission, conference, or retreat, trust Jerry and Debbie to make it come alive. Begin the process today of taking your presentation to the next level of success. For information on booking Jerry and Debbie, visit take2show.com, click on the J&D logo.
This is Unscripted, your show. This is time. This is the time for you to call in and ask pretty much anything you want. We're going to try our best to answer, and we're going to go back right back to the phones very quickly. We got full phone lines, completely full. There's live. There's chats going. There's YouTube posts coming in. There's texts coming in. Boy, it is just a busy, busy Friday. But that's good. We like it that way. Okay, Maria, you're up next. Listening in Seattle, Washington on Sirius XM 130. Welcome to Unscripted. Hi, Maria.
Howdy.
Howdy.
Hi, Maria.
I called yesterday, but before I get into that, I wanted to ask Jerry, would he happen to be the brother of Gianna?
The Seth who was just born is now would be the nephew of Gianna.
Oh, the nephew of Gianna, okay.
Yeah, the generations are piling up, Maria.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was just curious about that.
Yeah, Seth, who was just born to my brother, would be my my great-nephew, if I have that right. Wow. Getting old, Maria.
Yeah, I've got one of those, too. I've got actually three of them.
Oh, good for you. I'll bet they're a beautiful part of your life. I hope they are.
Yeah, they are. I just met them last summer.
Oh, very good.
They came here because they were going on an Alaska cruise.
That's fun. So what's on your mind, Maria? What can we do for you?
Yesterday I noticed, and I kind of figured it would happen, that all the callers were women. And I was thinking, I, I, th- I wondered why, because I was thinking, must be men get every, they don't have to worry about if they, if the right one's going to come along, because they get to get the right one. They don't have to worry about never finding the right one. That's the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, this was our topic yesterday. Is there really someone for everyone? We talked about love. And Debbie, what do you think? You're a woman. You're married. Did Marty just snap his fingers and Debbie came running, or what?
Well, yeah, pretty much. No, I'm teasing. Maria, actually, it's funny you're saying this, because I do, but maybe I'm wrong about this. Sometimes I feel like there's not as much pressure on the men as there is on the women. Are you kind of agreeing with that? I'm sensing you're agreeing with that. But I think we do that to ourselves, Maria. I think we put tremendous pressure on ourselves because we're of this mindset. I mean, look at the tabloids. Look at all those rag magazines that are telling us to stay young and not have a single wrinkle on our face and to be attractive and to find that special someone. And there's
I don't have a wrinkle on my face, and I'm the big 6'7".
That's beautiful.
I still don't have any wrinkles.
Well, but that's beautiful. But here's my point on this, Maria, is that I think we as women put tremendous pressure on ourselves. And if we would just realize that we are those absolute blessed daughters of God, and we get to know ourselves as that, and we go out into the world and we be the best we can be to know, love, and serve God, I think that we can take that pressure off of us, because the world is telling us one thing and our God is telling us a completely different thing. So I do agree with you but I have talked to some men that say there is a lot of pressure out there for them as well, because, you know, that there's competition and all this kind of stuff. So I think it happens for men as well. But I do think in general, we as human beings need to remove those external pressures and really start getting to the root of who we are as sons and daughters of God. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I kind of was thinking in terms more of it seems like the women, no matter where, you know, when I would be around these different Catholic women, you know, that I knew that were single, would say stuff like, you know, like if they knew they didn't have a religion, I mean, a religious vocation, they would say stuff like, well, you know, where is Mr. Writer? They'd say, because this one priest one time told me about these women that would say, St. Anne, send me a man quick as you can. And I thought,
right.
I never heard of that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I never heard of that one before, though. I used to pray to St. Anne all the time about Canada, because I know she's patron saint of Canada, but I never heard of St. Anne, send me a man quick as you can until that day.
Well, you know, Maria, one thing that we did mention yesterday is Mr. Right is Jesus, okay? Any woman listening?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
You know, and yeah, you get that. See, so any one of us who's listening right now, who is perhaps praying that prayer to Saint Anne, there needs to be patience. There needs to be a trust that God, He's created us each for a specific vocation, and we are all part of the bride of Christ. Therefore, we are all, in a sense, mystically espoused to Christ. So if we cultivate that relationship first, all the other ones are going to fall into place. And our prayers are with anyone who has a heart to find a mate in life and to have a family. And we just to pray. We pray for holy, happy, healthy marriages all the time. Thanks, Maria, for helping
us,
Maria, from my hometown of Seattle. Good to hear from you.
And thanks for the prayers for Seth. That's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, Mike, you are up next, waiting so patiently. Right now, Mike, I'm looking at the counter, the time counter, and I think you got our virtual patience award, so I don't know what you're going to do with it, but congratulations. Listening from Virginia on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Mike. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Hi, guys. I love both of you and all the advice you give. I got a little tougher question. I went to the Fortnight for Freedom last night in the Arlington Diocese with Reverend Bishop Michael Brubridge. All 300 bishops in the country had a mass last night that runs 14 days to the 4th of July. And after the mass, he gave a great homily about the issues we're dealing with. about, you know, religious freedom in the United States. I basically asked him, what, Bishop Reverend Michael, what are you going to do about our governor in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe? He's 3 years in, he's got another year left, and he's purported to be a practicing Catholic. And I asked him, what have you done about Terry McAuliffe? And the question is to all 100 bishops that could be listening now. Biden, Tim Kaine, and Pelosi all have this sense that they are part of the church, and yet they are, it's a scandalous, scandalous situation where they're purporting to do away with our children and saying that they, you know, stand with us in the Catholic Church. So the question is, what would you ask Michael, Reverend Michael Brubridge to do?
Jerry?
Thanks, Deb.
Okay. Well, I have something to say, but I wanted to hear what you had to say.
Well, yeah, and it's not just Bishop Burbidge, whom I know, by the way. You know, I know him to be a very good man and a good bishop. And we want to pray for and uphold all of our bishops, our priests. This is a tough question, Mike, and this has come up so many, many times. I think I can I won't speak for anybody else. I personally would love to see maybe a little bit more, maybe a lot more public action or statements on the part of our bishops. But at the same time, they realize that there is a kind of an order to things. And, you know, they, in today's world, a governor like this, a politician, a senator, whomever, they have no excuse for not knowing the church's teachings on this. And they are flaunting them anyway. And so I don't know, how much good would it do? I don't know. I'm asking that not as if it wouldn't do any good. I'm just simply saying, how much good would it do for, say, a bishop to publicly call out a governor? Or, you know, Debbie, we've had bishops who have actually sent letters and had meetings with politicians that have virtually gone nowhere.
That's right.
I think so many of these pro-abortion politicians are hardened in their stance to the point where if they're conscience will allow them to attend Mass and to go up and receive communion, knowing what they believe and knowing what they champion in the public square, then the conscience has been hardened to a point that I don't know. Again, I'm not saying it wouldn't do any good. I don't know what good it would do for a bishop to try and take this on publicly or even privately. But Debbie, I don't know if you've got anything.
That is exactly what I was thinking, and you said it so perfectly, Jerry. And so, Mike, what I would just say is, what we have is the power of prayer, and we must just all pray, and as many groups as we can, pray for these people that are in the public that are espousing these false beliefs and still holding on to their Catholicism, thinking that they are a good Catholic, when in fact, publicly, clearly, they are putting it out there that they are not. They are against the church's teachings.
And it is a scandal.
And it is a scandal. And our youth are taking this in, and they're getting confused, and they're not sure what it means to really be a true Catholic. We cannot judge, obviously, their hearts. Only God knows what's going on in their minds and hearts. Okay, but we can make comments about their actions. And so we... Obviously, the best way is with our votes and with our what we're doing in what we're doing in the, as Catholics in the public square, and then prayer. I mean, that's really what, because I feel bad for these bishops. I really do, because I know a lot of them do try, and it falls on deaf ears because exactly what Jerry said, they're hardened hearts.
Let me propose a third solution. The prayer is obviously important. I spent 5 years at an abortion clinic. Praying about that. But, just give me a minute here.
That's fine, Mike. Don't worry.
The proposal is that I didn't have a chance. I had 2 minutes with Reverend Michael, and I love him. You know, I mean, I don't know him like you do, Jerry, but the sense is that a private letter to them, first to inquire, are they receiving the sacraments? Are they doing that? And number two, if they don't respond to that, which actually Reverend Michael's already written 2 letters to McAuliffe, I don't know what the content was. I think basically asked for a meeting. He did not respond. He's only been a bishop for 6 months, so I don't know. I'm sure he wrote 2 letters, so neither one of them responded to. But I would encourage all the bishops to write and inquire from these people, are you attending the sacraments? And if they respond positively, say that, you know, as a consequence, if you don't publicly change your position to the media or to the public, that you are I'm privately advising you to please not present yourself for the sacraments in my diocese. And then I would parenthetically advise all the priests of that private letter. And at that point, you know, you're done with it. But you basically have the gospel last night. I don't know if you know, have a sense, but the Catholic bishops had gospel of Matthew 10:34, which was,
are you still there, Mike?
Yeah.
Did we lose Mike?
I think Mike just is just getting emotional, and which understandably so. He's very passionate about this, and we all are, Mike, and it's a tough situation. But may I just say one other thing? If we as Catholics would start living as in alignment with the Catholic teachings, these people that are out there in public office wouldn't be holding that microphone. Okay, the problem is a lot of us Catholics don't vote along Catholic lines. We pick one certain aspect of somebody in public office, and we say, oh, well, that sounds good. That pertains to my life, so I'll go ahead and cast my vote for them. But we're really going against Catholic teaching. You know, we are Catholics. We have to remember that, and we have to uphold the Catholic teaching. So. I know I got off there a little bit, Jerry, but I just wanted to say I think some of this could be rectified if we would just all live out our Catholic faith.
Yeah, and Mike, thank you for the call. I guess just the last thought that comes to my mind is one thing that we need to keep in mind, this is not to let our church leaders off the hook, but violating something, especially this grave in terms of the Catholic faith being publicly pro-abortion and actually acting and governing in a way that perpetuates the death of unborn children, something like that could, I'm not saying it does in every case, but it could carry an automatic excommunication. So while a bishop can publicly acknowledge that someone has excommunicated himself or herself, because it is the person who does that to themselves. It is not necessarily an active decision on the part of a bishop, but it's called laete sententiae. Some various crimes and sins carry with them an automatic excommunication. So, we need to pray for all of our church leaders and our governing leaders. And in an ideal world, we wouldn't be having a conversation like this. Mike, it's not ideal, and you are a warrior. You're a champion.
Absolutely.
And we thank you for bringing this to our attention today. We're going to let you go on that because we got a ton of other calls here, and the show is winding down. But, Mike, thank you for your passion, and thanks for being vulnerable enough to show your emotion about this issue.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Jerry, real quickly, can I just address, Annalyn called in or Facebook posted in from Kuwait and said, good evening, watching from Kuwait. God bless you all. Isn't that wonderful? And real quickly, Tanya on YouTube just asked, how many children do I have? Tanya, I have 2 grown sons. Just wanted to let you know that. Okay.
Got to mention EWTN Radio Classics real quick. Those of you who loved Mother Angelica, Father Benedict Groeschel, there's, of course, Patrick Madrid, who's still with us and doing great work, and many others. You'll find them at EWTNradio.net and on the EWTN app. So if, God forbid, you ever got your fill of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, you could just switch over there. But we know that's not going to happen. So.
Okay, go
ahead, Deb. Who's up next?
That's hilarious. Peter in Pensacola, Florida, listening on Guadalupe Radio Network. Hi, Peter. Welcome to Unscripted on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
Oh, how you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure, Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Hey, let me set up right off the bat. I don't want to say I'm a Baptist, or I definitely don't consider myself Protestant, because that just sounds so negative. I'm really, the only thing I protest against is the devil, you know? Catholicism is a little bit different from my beliefs, but you know, I was baptized a Baptist, but I love listening to EWTN. I love taking my friends to the Catholic Sacred Heart Hospital whenever they need a ride. Oh, yeah, I'll take it. And I just sit there in the waiting room and drink coffee and watch EWTN on TV. I love it, you know. But one thing I've noticed about my Baptist friends that I have is they're always talking about, oh, I'm just going to get on that glory train and go home to heaven. And Catholics, people that have of the Catholic faith, they're doers. They're doers of the word. They're sitting out in the abortion clinics. They're sitting in the snow. They're sitting in the rain, sitting in the heat. All my friends, when I go, the little senior citizens are sitting in the lawn chairs. My Baptist friends aren't there. It's the little senior citizens with the rosaries. And I go up and thank them and hug them, and we read the Bible. And so I try to have a relationship with them, even though we differ a little bit in the beliefs, just as long as we believe in the Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But a funny thing that I do is the Catholic Charities in town tore the building down. They moved to a bigger building, and when I found out about it, I saw that big rubble of all the wood, and I make icons. I make Eastern Orthodox and Western Orthodox and Russian icons, and it's just gluing pictures of Christ and Mary and the Theotokas on pieces of wood, and I give them to different people. I'm on the pile there at Catholic Charities. Two cops come up at gunpoint, ask me what I'm doing, talking about trespassing and this and that. I was about to get shot, you know. And I tell them what I'm doing, and one of them, thank God, one of them was of the Catholic faith. I told him what I was doing. He said, that's cool. They helped me go through the wood and pick out some neat wood that's suitable for about 10 minutes, and they had to go. I made him an icon and his mother an icon out of the wood from the Catholic Charities building, you know. So thank goodness that maybe saved me there. But one thing I was going to ask about is communion.
Sure.
I go to different Catholic churches. I like playing guitar, and they have guitar mass. But when it comes down to communion, I feel so bad because I'm a Baptist. They tell me I've got to sit outside the gates of the city. I'm not worthy of going up and taking communion. And I'm 60-plus years old. I just feel so bad, you know, because I'm not going to convert to Catholicism, you know, to take communion. But I've taken communion all my life in different churches, even when I lived in Spain and in Italy, you know. I'd walk up and take communion. But here, you know, because I'm not part of that faith, and I know the church teaching. But what I was going to ask is my 90-year-old family's grandmother, we take communion on EWTN all the time, several times a day, late at night, during the day. Is what's your opinion on me, us being Baptists, taking communion with the radio? We have the host, we have the wine, we when it's time, when the little bell rings, we do it. We love it. Is that legal?
Well, Peter, let me jump in. Deb, I don't know. Do you want to go first? I got a couple things, but
no, you go right ahead because we're racing against the clock. So
yeah, Peter, there is in Catholic spirituality what's called a spiritual communion, and it sounds like that's what you and your family are doing. And this is, anybody can do this. You can do this any time of the day from anywhere you are. And there's a little prayer that people pray. You know, Jesus, I'm not able to receive you in the sacrament right now, but please come spiritually into my soul. You can look it up online if you get a chance, spiritual communion. But you sound really, really Catholic, Peter. You said you're not going to convert just for the Eucharist. Boy, I'll tell you, Peter, that is the ultimate reason to consider being a Catholic. And you said you know the church teaching, which I assume by that you mean you understand that it is from the hands of a validly ordained priest alone, it is the true body, blood, soul, and divinity of Christ. You've got an amazing relationship with Jesus, Peter. Why not supercharge it right now by becoming Catholic and being able to receive the Eucharist? That's just what comes to my mind. Deb?
It is the source and summit of our faith, Peter, and I would really take it to prayer and also maybe speak to a priest, make an appointment to speak to a priest or a deacon and talk about this, because you are so close. I mean, you have such a beautiful love for the Eucharist and you have a devotion. I just feel you're at that point. I don't know what's keeping you holding on to your Baptist tradition, but if you have that love and you're drawn into the what Jerry said is absolutely the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist, I would really talk to a priest or deacon about it, because it sounds like you're longing for that Eucharist in the Catholic Church, which our communion is very different from other denominations' communion. We have to remember that. We use that word loosely, communion, and everybody thinks, oh, I get it. I know what communion is. It's the wine and the bread. No, ours is very, 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 very specific and very different. And so I would encourage you just to take it to prayer and then maybe seek out a priest or deacon, Peter, if you could do that. I would love to hear maybe what they could advise you.
I tell you, I was a Catholic priest, and I consider myself just a Christian, just like Acts 11:26 says. They were first called Christians. And my Catholic priest that I golf with is so jealous because I have a signed copy of Fulton Sheen's Life of Christ book that I will not give him. I will not give it to him. I love it. It's one of my cherished possessions. But one of the funny thing is I was talking to one of my Protestant friends, and he said, yes, and Baptists, we study the Bible, and we go to Bible schools. And at that time, you're going to love this, I was representing the people of the Catholic faith. I said, yeah, that's good that you studied the Bible. Do you know we wrote the Bible? We put the Latin Vulgate was the first written Bible, you know. So we wrote the Bible like that, you know. Hey, can
well,
I get
Peter,
Trinity real quick? I can.
Hey, Peter, hold on. Sorry, dear brother, we got to get to another call or two if we can. But I just want to say, you man, I wish I had your zeal and your fire and your love for the Lord. Thank you for sharing that with us today. But we really do, Peter, you have imparted so much wisdom to us and definitely inspired a lot of people, no doubt.
And there's no accident he's playing golf with a priest. So maybe it's meant to be. It's meant
Priests
to be,
don't golf,
Peter.
Do they?
Oh, yes, they do. They're very good golfers, too. Very competitive.
Thanks, Peter. God bless
Thanks,
you, brother.
Peter.
Wanted to get over to Mary in Denver, Colorado, listening on Denver Catholic Radio. Hi, Mary. Welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. We've got about 2 minutes. Fire away.
Hi, Mary.
Hello, Mary.
Hello. How are you?
Hi. Good, Mary. Sorry to limit you, but we've got about 2 minutes for you.
That's okay. I just wanted to, when you were talking about your brother's grandson, Seth, being born with a cord around his neck.
Yeah.
In 1956, we were very young parents, and my son was born with a cord around his neck. He lived to be 49, but he was an angel. Everybody in the world that he came in contact with just absolutely loved him. In fact, when he died, my grandson said to me, Grandma, it was such a blessing to have Larry in our lives because he taught us how to love. And that's exactly what happens. They have so much love inside of them that they just spread that to everybody they come in contact with. We were so blessed. We had five children, and he was the middle son and absolutely a joy in our lives.
Wow, Mary, thank you so much for sharing that. And I'm going to pass that along to, I know my sister-in-law Anita is very concerned, and John, my brother, and of course Luke, and the baby's mother as well. So thank you, Mary, for sharing that. We really appreciate that. Deb, it just shows that God has a purpose and a plan for every life that comes into this world.
Absolutely. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for blessing our show today. Diane and Delinda and everyone else on Facebook and YouTube, we're going to read all the comments and we're going to talk about it. We're going to post some resources on Take Two Show. We couldn't get to you. Obviously, we ran out of time, as always. But you can keep in touch with us on Facebook. Don't forget to like EWTN Catholic Radio Facebook page. You can always email us at take2@EWTN.com.
All right. On Monday, our episode, we're going to ask you to answer or fill in this question. I still can't believe that what? Maybe we take for granted the wonderful things that happen in our lives. Maybe you helped your child gain a full scholarship, or God brought you the beautiful spouse of your dreams, or you took a wonderful trip of a lifetime. So I still can't believe that such and such happened in my life. We want to hear from you on Monday about that.
So we just want to say, don't forget to like us on Jerry and Debbie Facebook as well, and jerryanddebbie.com. Until then, have a beautiful and blessed weekend. We'll see you real soon.